Good evening, everyone. My name is Kathleen. Thank you so much for the introduction. To get the nerves out, I just want to say, how excited is it to be back in person after all these years? Very exciting. I want to welcome everybody who has come, traveled, as was already said, perhaps far but near, but the willingness to come and be at an international convention. I wish you a phenomenal recovery weekend, whatever that may look like for you. I want to also give a shout out to everyone who has done service to put this conference on after we have been, right? Not able to meet in person for so long. And also, there are people that have been doing service for both fellowships behind the scenes this week for the fellowship at large. And just a shout out to everybody who is doing service above the group level to help both of our fellowships continue to grow and prosper. So thank you for that. I am going to get started, and I do have notes. Forgive my notes, but I will go off on tangents and squirrel, and I want to try to stay on focus. And I'm going to do a couple readings from Morrison on literature today. So I am grateful to be here. I am so happy to see some people that I know, and I'm really looking forward to meeting people that I don't know yet. For those of you that, I have not seen in person since 2019, it's great to see you, and I've missed you. I'm going to share my Essanon journey regarding being affected by someone who is not a spouse or a partner. Behavior of a loved one. Working the Essanon program book has a section, and I'm going to read a little bit out of this section. When the sexaholic is not a spouse or a partner, specifically, some of us have seen our children manifesting symptoms of sexaholism or choosing sexaholics as their friends and partners. Watching them hurt themselves, their families, jobs, and futures is distressing. We may have tried to help them or control them. We may have believed them and their promises. Our fear and guilt have brought us to the point of despair. Essanon offers us tools to heal in these relationships too. We can find serenity for ourselves by working the tools of the Essanon program. So 2006, I found myself calling the Essanon Central Office in Nashville, Tennessee. I was in my second marriage, and there were three children. I was at the point of despair in that particular situation, and I stumbled upon Essanon accidentally. I had no knowledge of it. I did not know it existed. When I made that phone call, I was given a local phone number, and it took me a couple of days to get up the courage to make that phone call, but I did, and someone answered that phone, and that person started to share their story with me first, right? The basics of 12-step recovery, relating and connecting instead of comparing. I felt so hopeful that I had found somewhere to go, and I remember going, we had an in-person meeting where I live, which, I know that we have places that don't even have meetings, but very fortunate, I attended that meeting, and I heard the Essanon problem, and as soon as I heard it, I knew I belonged, and I knew I didn't want to be here. It was just mixed feelings, right? It's like, oh my God, yes, higher power is speaking to me. Oh, no, I have to come here. I worked very hard on my recovery for the next 4 years. In 2010, separation occurred in that relationship. And after my spouse moved out, what happened was within weeks, the behavior of a then 17-year-old started to bubble up. And I found myself shocked. I was like, I didn't know I could be shocked again after some of the things that I had experienced in marriages. But I was really absolutely dumbfounded. And what I had realized that I had focused on another person for, you know, a tremendous amount of time. And then when I started my SNN recovery, I really focused on myself. I was still working full-time, still, you know, running a household, still right in relationship. There were still other aspects of life, but I really wasn't paying that much attention to this particular individual, this particular loved one. I want to read to you in the Working the SNN program again, page 81. I'm in the same section. Shortly after his 18th birthday, I was trying to locate my tax records on the computer and found openly stored in the documents bin a collection of pornography which clearly belonged to my son. My immediate desire was to react, which I did. Find him at the school function, give free rein to my fear, and issue ultimatums. I gave free rein to my fear. I didn't issue ultimatums yet, but what happened for me was that when I heard the SNN problem, I knew that I had it. And when I started my SNN recovery program, I knew that I had the SNN problem long before I got into relationships with anyone. I had been affected by another person's sexual behavior since I was little. I did not know I had the SNN problem. I did not know what it was. But in those 4 years that I had worked prior to this particular aspect popping up in my life, I had done a lot of the work within the relationship, but then had gone back. And SNN had helped me heal a lot of what I needed to heal from my childhood. So when my SNN problem was activated by this particular situation, I went back to the SNN problem. These are some of the ways that I was affected, and this is from the long version of the SNN problem, which is found in our literature. It's in here. You can also find it on our other places. So, we grew up with secrets and addictions. That was my childhood, but that was also how I found myself wanting to handle this particular situation. Immediately, instant, secret. Nobody can know. Not thought about, not taught to think about our own needs or take positive action to meet them. So I found myself actually being paralyzed. After having worked so hard on certain things, I found myself like, what do I do? Like, blank. Like, I don't know what to do. Acquired unhealthy beliefs about ourselves. I'm not worthwhile and I'm not lovable. It's really the crux for me of my SNN problem, and how that manifested in this particular situation was I'm not worthwhile. I am a terrible parent. I have failed this person. I have allowed this disease to creep into this family unit. Now, I've been around long enough to know that I didn't cause it. I can't control it, and I don't have the cure for it. But that's all gone. Like, all logic is gone. There's no reasonable thinking that's happening here, because I'm in full-on reaction, and I'm in full fear. The SNN problem also tells me that I think that I can control other people's behavior. Part of my reaction to this situation was to proceed into a litany of how I'm going to control this behavior. Felt shame about a loved one's sexual behavior. I could talk for the entire evening about that shame spiral and how that made me feel, and how it activated some of the stuff that I had already done work on from my childhood experiences, but at a deeper level. Like, I have heard the analogy of the onion being peeled, right? The layers of the onion being peeled. So this was hitting me in a very different place, because this was not a spouse, this was a child, and this was hitting me in a different heart spot, in a different solar plexus, and it was really, really hard. Doubted my sanities and my emotions, my self-esteem dropped to low levels. I took full responsibility for this. Again, it was just my it's part of my SNN problem. It's what I do, and so it's not a surprise that it kicked in. But this is how I am, and this is, you know, the beauty of working the SNN program and focusing on myself is I learn who I am, I learn how I respond or react, And I have learned to love myself, to accept myself, and to go with it and not judge myself. Now, do I still? Of course I do. In the moment, but Asanan has helped me learn to extend grace to myself, and that I did not handle this well, and I made mistakes, but there are spiritual tools that I can pick up to remedy those, right? And I'll get to that in a little bit. I was absolutely afraid to reach out for help. I did not know anyone in my current community. Now, this is 2010. There were in-person meetings, and there were some phone meetings, and that was it. We did not have online meetings that I was aware of at that time. There was no one in my immediate community that I knew that was dealing with issues with children. So I wasn't really sure where to go or who to talk to, and this was here. I wasn't really aware of any other Essanon literature that I could access. My sponsor at that time did not have this experience, so I started to feel lonely. I started to feel a little helpless, and this is, you know, and despair, which I've already mentioned. I found myself focusing on the behavior of the person instead of the person. So I had a blind spot to see that person as a spiritually and emotionally ill human being. All I saw was the behavior, and all I saw was how that behavior was affecting me. And I go into this pattern I'm angry, I'm terrified, I don't know what to do, and then I go to resentment. How dare you do this to me, right? So this is the unhealthy way of me focusing on myself, because, you know, I go to self-pity. It's also a part of my S&M problem, right? Hurt, wounded, self-pity, and, you know, and then I get over myself. But this is my process. And Asanan has helped me see that about myself. This is my process. I have learned to accept my process over the years. Sometimes I don't like it, but it is my process. And I have learned to ease into it, invite my higher power in, and know that this too shall pass. I spied. I eavesdropped. I begged. I pleaded. I embarrassed this person. And that was my bottom. I hit a very, very, point of despair. That was the what. Now, that was the first one. I'm going to tell you that was, what did I tell you, roughly 2010. That person was 17. And I will tell you that there was a second one, and that started in, I wrote the date down. Anyway, I'll pick it up. But anyway, it wasn't just one, it was two. But here's what happened. The dealing with the first one brought me to a point of recovery that I had not experienced yet, but brought me to a level of working the Essanon program and turning to the legacies and the spiritual tools that I had not done before. And so the legacies were my guide. Step work, sponsorship, right? And working the steps through this particular relationship first and foremost to identify my Essanon problem and invite higher power in. I struggled with step three, turned my will and my life over to the care of the higher power of my understanding. I had not considered that the higher power of my understanding was big enough to handle this. I was unwilling initially to turn over the will and life to a child, to the care of a higher power. And I had to spend some time on that, and I had to work on that, and I had to also hit, for me, an emotional bottom, a point of despair, to surrender and have that willingness, knowing that really, ultimately, the only path forward was for me to let go. I was very aware of my powerlessness. I was very aware that a higher power would have a solution, but I was still holding on to, but I think I can do this. I think if I just say this, I think if I just set these consequences, I think if I just, right? I had a whole list of things, yes, but. And I needed to absolutely surrender and let go and turn this over to There was two parts. The higher power of my understanding to help me process mine, but then to recognize that my child had a higher power as well, and it was not me. I realized I could not connect with a loved one during times when a spiritual and emotional disease is present. That's not just for them, but that's for me as well. When I am full of fear, when I am trying to control, my spiritual and emotional disease is present. I cannot connect with anybody. And that was very important for me to understand. So I pray for the willingness to keep the focus on myself and pick up the spiritual tools that will help me realize what I need to do. There was another huge lesson that came out of this for me, and this one was really, really hard for me to admit, but it gave me a tremendous amount of personal freedom when I did. I mentioned it was my second marriage, and the first marriage ended with similar unacceptable behavior due to sexual behavior, same with the second marriage. When it became my child, I had a different perspective that my loved ones are not disposable. And I believed that if it's not working, then, self-care and move on. But this took me, like I said, to a very different level of compassion and understanding, and seeing someone I loved dearly. Not that I didn't love either one of my spouses, but it just was different. And much harder for me. And I felt ashamed that I didn't even know that I had that thought process. But when I realized that I did, because I believe the God of my understanding loves me so much, that higher power shows me really hard things to look at myself. And that was hard. And very hard for me to see and to admit and to talk about it. But it was a relief when that happened. I had reasons now. Right? Not that I didn't before, but I had significantly more reasons to heal my wounds, to grow spiritually, and to have a different response. But most importantly, I realized because I had the S&M problem and I thought I was not worthwhile and lovable, I am worthwhile. And this was worth digging deeper and doing this work. So much more worth it. So the S&M problem showed me how I was affected. The steps showed me my powerlessness, how I did not handle the situation as spiritually as I would have liked, the defects of characters that came out for me in my four-step inventory, sharing this with another person, God, myself, and another human being in step five, inviting higher power in to help me remove the defects of character specifically surrounding my blocks in this relationship, and then the amends process. Making the list, doing the amends, continuing that daily inventory, and this brought me closer to my higher power than either my previous recovery work had. And that is a gift that I did not expect at all. Part of that was as I plunged into the step work and worked with my sponsor and shared what I could with my local group, which was fine, but in generic terms though, because I found that when I got into too many specifics, it wasn't necessarily good for me, because I can tend to get stuck in the problem, in the hurt, and I didn't want to stay in the hurt, honoring my feelings, but yet looking for the solution and wanting to focus more on the solution. After the step work, I moved into the traditions. Like I said, it was all three legacies that got me through this. So after I did the work on myself, the traditions, they say, are supposed to help us recovering in our relationships. I'm going to read a few things out of our tradition, Essanon tradition book. Tradition one, I'll share the tradition with you real quick. Our common welfare should come first. Personal progress through the greatest number depends upon unity. This is my family unit. There are myself and three children in this home. I will tell you that the behavior in this person escalated to the point where the decision that was made as a result of step work and traditions and concept work, that this person was asked to leave the home. There were two younger children in the home, and it had escalated to the point where there was unacceptable behavior in terms of unacceptable sexual behavior, but there were other things that the house had was no longer a safe place for the younger children, and then my physicality was being threatened. And I hated that it got to that. It was one of my biggest fears. I didn't write down my fear list, but my fear list was quite large. But, I mean, first among those was, oh, my God, my child might be a sexaholic. It's the last thing that I would wish on anyone, much less one of my own children. But it did escalate, and I did ask that individual to leave, and what helped me get through that was guidance by, right, through the traditions and the concepts specifically. So in tradition one, practicing these principles, the traditions are boundaries for getting along with others. How pleasant it is to know that in the fellowship or at home, our common welfare should come first instead of the needs or desires of any one person. That was a crystal clear message for me. There were three other individuals in that home, and to give all of the energy and attention to one individual was not in balance. So that was very important. Tradition two, or for our group purposes, but one authority, a loving God as you may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. This is working. This program has allowed me to make progress in clearly speaking my opinion and letting higher power guide the outcome. Higher power is in charge, and surrendering every single day to higher power, every single hour if need be. And what's the next right step? What's the next right action? Tradition four. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting another group or Essanon or SA as a whole. Tradition four reminds us to consider how the actions of our group may affect others if we participate in meetings and other Essanon activities. Tradition four can also guide our family relationships. My actions, my decisions were affecting the rest of the family. My inaction was affecting the rest of the family. My being paralyzed with fear was affecting the rest of the family. And that is something that is incredibly important to realize. I do not exist in a vacuum, and it's not a recovery idea for me to think that I can take an action and it's not going to have an effect on others. So that was careful consideration along the way of what actions to take. Tradition five, each Essanon family group has but one purpose, to help families of sexaholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of Essanon, by encouraging and understanding our sexaholic relatives, and by giving comfort to the families and friends of sexaholics. I was able to find compassion and understanding for my sexaholic relative, which I had not considered before. I found in an Essanon group, and I found in that group the help and unconditional love and support that I desperately needed. I am so grateful for Essanon. I'm so grateful that there is literature specifically written on being affected by another person's sexual behavior dependent upon who that person is. And I also found that I was able to express unconditional love and understanding for a loved one who was spiritually and emotionally ill. And that transferred to both spouses. And it was a fundamental shift for me. There was a point where it just, the fog cleared. Like my glasses cleared and I could see. And I could see higher power everywhere and all over this. And it helped me realize that this, what is happening right now in this moment in time, is temporary. I don't know how long temporary is, but it's temporary. And it also doesn't define me, right? And it's not personal. I had been taking it personal. It's not personal. It was just amazing when the fog clears in the brain and I feel like I'm getting the message from my higher power. I'm briefly going to touch on the concepts because they were also incredibly helpful. Concept 3 talks about the right of decision. It makes effective leadership possible. I am the leader of the family unit. I am the CEO of the family, so to speak, and that gave me the right of decision, despite if it was unpopular. Of course, it was not a popular. I will tell you that the person that was asked to leave did not want to leave, and I will tell you that the younger siblings did not want their older sibling to leave. And I was questioned by all of my siblings and other family members. And I get that. I understand that. But the concepts really helped me feel more connected with the higher power and understanding that this was the right decision at this time. Concept 7 talks about legal rights, and it's very similar to what I just said about the right of decision. I have legal rights. This was a minor. And if there were anything to have happened legally, then I would have been liable, and that would have affected everyone in the household. So that was a logical decision more than an emotional decision, but it really helped guide me. The concept 8 talks about routine management of the Essanon headquarters is delegated to the executive committee. And that the reason why that helped me was it helped me see that my minor children who were affected by this family situation, because first dad left and now just a couple months later brother is left, I understand that they have feelings, and I understand it's affected them, but that by default, they're not in recovery and they're little kids, but they have delegated authority to the executive committee. Nine, good personal leadership at all service levels is a necessity. So I also realized that not only, a bad decision affects people, but a good decision affects people. And that my sponsor helped me see that modeling healthy behavior and making choices based in a good faith and spiritual recovery is a healthy tool to model for those that are still living in the household. Continuing to maintain that calm, safe environment. Safety was a priority. It just was. It had to be a safe environment. This is general warranty number 4. No conference action, ever be personally punitive or an incitement to public controversy. So the decision that I made to ask this young man definitely incited public controversy. I got a lot of information that was unsolicited. And I need to wrap up. It went by so fast. I need to wrap up, yes? I will tell you that program works. Higher power works. I made amends to this young man. And 3 short years later, this young man moved away and went to school. And 3 short years later, I received a phone call. And it wasn't like there wasn't any contact. But this person had been affected by another person's sexual behavior. Long-term partner. And shared his pain with me. And I was able to receive it. And I was able to hear it because I had done the work. and see this person not as my child anymore, but as a fellow walking this path, and that I am a member of a recovery program, that someone helped me and heard me in my pain, and I was able to do the same. And we have a great relationship today. And I'm so happy to have been asked to be here and share a little bit of my journey with you. And I wish you all well. Thank you so much.